Hi there, this is Michael Lowry, pastor of East Congregational United Church of Christ in Concord, New Hampshire, and this is the Love to Tell the Story podcast. As the Church of Jesus Christ, we are called first and foremost to be unabashedly Christian, but also, amongst other things, to be unabashedly caring. And both of these things begin with love. That's the subject and the title of today's message, which is based on 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21, and it begins with some thoughts about the importance and the challenge of love. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. That is what it all boils down to, friends. That's what it's all about. Love. A love personified in Jesus Christ that brings us into relationship with God. A love that forges a connection of kindred hearts among us as brothers and sisters in faith. A love that binds us all together as the Church of Jesus Christ. Truly, when people ask us who we are and what we're about as this gathering of folks that we call the church, this is what we tell them. This is who we are. We are all about the love. And I'm here to tell you this morning that I am eternally grateful for that, both pastorally and personally. I have long been and continue to be so very thankful for the presence of the Christian community, this family of faith, this family that has always brought so much love into my life and to the life of my family. That said, however, I got to be honest and confess that there have been times for me when the church, that is, this wider fellowship of kindred hearts, of which all of us are a part, there are times for me when that church can easily be compared to the young man who wrote the following letter to the love of his life. Dear Mary, he wrote, dear sweet Mary, I would swim the deepest river for you. I would climb the highest mountain. Oh, my sweet, sweet Mary, I would walk over burning coals just to be at your side. All my love, all my devotion, XOXOXXO, Jack. P.S. I'll be over on Sunday if it doesn't rain. Let that sink in for a minute. You see, it's one thing to talk about love, isn't it? Quite another to actually mean it and let that affirmation move our very lives. In the end, merely elaborating on the depth of our devotion is, well, insufficient. Words of devotion, while beautiful and often, make no mistake about it, very welcome, words of devotion sometimes can be, well, let's cut to the chase here. They can be annoying sometimes. They can even be offensive when they are not accompanied by action. And so it is within the Church of Jesus Christ. The fact is, we in the church have an abundance of good words with which we talk about love, and we are not afraid to use them. We use them in songs and stories and poems, prayers and promises, if I might call out an ancient song there. We regularly tell out our devotion to God in this place, and as well as expressing the depth of our affection to those around us. And well, we should. I'm not suggesting otherwise, as the confession and the affirmation of love is an essential part of our worship and an important piece of our life together. So there's no question that we ought to be talking the talk. And we're great, I think, at talking the talk. But there still is the matter of walking the walk. And the question becomes, where love is concerned, do our words and our deeds match up? In other words, do we truly love one another as we have been loved? Or is the truth that there is oftentimes a disconnect, as it were, between what we say about love and what we do about love? And make no mistake, friends, that's a big question. In fact, I would tell you this morning that there's no exaggeration to say that how we answer says everything about the caliber of our faith, about the effectiveness of our shared ministry in this place. And it says everything about the utter distinctiveness of an unabashedly Christian community that at least seeks to be some small embodiment of the kingdom of heaven, to be a people girded by faith and led forth in perfect love that's expressed in unabashed caring, which is reaching out to one another boldly, extravagantly, and without fear. In one sense, I know that what I'm saying here, folks, is pretty obvious. Of course, we do understand that to be a Christian means to care about and for others. And yes, as another song goes, they will know we are Christians by our love. Moreover, all praise be to God. In this place, we're a church that embraces that mission as something not only important, but crucial. It never ceases to amaze me that no matter the situation, when it comes to outreach, the people of East Church always seem to come through. We volunteer, we raise money, we make contributions, we bake casseroles. That's the congregational way, don't you know? We send cards. We help out as best we can. We're not perfect. Sometimes we drop the ball. Sometimes we do not love as we should love. That's because we're human. But as your pastor and as a member of this church family, I can tell you with all certainty that as persons and as a people, we care. And we care because we love. And yet, I have to wonder how many opportunities for true caring you and I have, well, missed along the way. I wonder how many times we've actually held back from doing the right thing, the loving thing. Times when we did know of a problem or a concern and even knew what could be done about it. But in the end, we couldn't. Or maybe we just didn't. Do not misunderstand me here. I don't want to denigrate what we do, nor would I ever suggest a lack of caring or compassion on anyone's part. But I would suggest to you here this morning that for us to truly care, to love one another as we are taught and commanded in our faith, it means for us to do so without hesitation or fear. And therein oftentimes lie the challenge. Kenneth C. Hauck is the founder and director of Stephen Ministries, which is an international lay caring ministry. And he is the author of a book that, as far as I'm concerned, is the quintessential reading on this subject. It's a book called Christian Caregiving, A Way of Life. Hauck, who I actually had the opportunity to meet some years ago, actually begins this book with an exhaustive list of reasons why people don't reach out to others in Christian love. Let me share a few. Personal embarrassment, for one thing. You know, there are people who can easily talk to you without hesitation about anything under the sun. They'll talk to you about politics, they'll talk to you about sex, they'll talk about anything you can name. But when it comes to talking about spiritual matters, one's faith, religion, or one's relationship with God, immediately they become very self-conscious, and things get awkward real quick. What's the old Peanuts comic strip? We were talking about this the other day. There are three things that you should... This is what Linus says, by the way. There are three things you never talk about in public: religion, politics, and the great pumpkin. Well, I don't know about the great pumpkin, but religion and politics makes people very reticent to talk. And conversely to that, there's also the concern that maybe if you reach out to someone in Christian love, it might embarrass them. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to embarrass anybody. You don't want to make them feel awkward. And so our tendency sometimes is just to back off. How it goes on from there. Another reason people don't reach out is caution. You know, you don't want your caring words to be perceived as pushing your faith down somebody's throat, unquote. Or maybe they had, shall we say, a bad experience in a previous attempt at Christian caregiving. And so now they vowed never, ever again to get involved. And then there are those who simply don't feel like they have sufficient knowledge or training to help somebody in the midst of their crisis or their need. I mean, bottom line, we all feel that way sometimes. We all have wanted desperately to be able to help, but just felt like, well, there's nothing I can do. I'm not qualified for this. We don't want to say or do the wrong thing and make the situation worse. Suffice to say, it's not always easy to be a caring person. And in a day and age where people tend more and more to keep to themselves about their troubles, to be distinctively and unabashedly Christian about the way we love and care for others, it becomes even more of a challenge. It requires risk and openness. It requires the courage to be bold. It requires the willingness to accept some level of sacrifice on our parts. But for you and me, as people of faith, this is the kind of love that's essential. As our text for this morning, the one that Chris just shared with us, has said it, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. But whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. And if that's not direct enough to make us feel totally uncomfortable about this, notice how at the end of this passage, John goes another step further. For me, this is kind of the hardest hitting portion of what Chris read. Those who say, I love God, and hate a brother or sister are liars. For those who do not love a brother and sister whom they have seen, they cannot love God whom they have not seen. Incidentally, I love how the Message translates the next verse there. It reads, the command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You gotta love both. There's no ambiguity there. In other words, it's not merely some kind of lofty ideal for us to be aspiring to be caring Christian people any more than it's ever an option for a church to engage in caregiving on a part-time basis. To be unabashedly Christian is to be unabashedly caring, always. And the challenge for you and for me, the challenge even with all of our fears and our reluctance and our supposed inabilities, is how do we make that caring real in our lives? How does it happen? How do you and I start to live lives that are unabashedly caring and worthy of the love that we've already been given by God in Jesus Christ? Well, I think it begins, friends, with understanding that it's not solely or primarily about what it is that we do. It's, and also might I add here, it's most certainly not about the fact that we are the ones doing it. It's not about us. But it is most especially about why we're doing it. The reason for our caring. And the reason for our caring, the reason why we do it, friends, is Jesus Christ. You see, at the core of our Christian faith, beloved, is that 2,000 years ago, God chose to identify himself fully with our humanness. And he sent his Son into the world so that to live and breathe, to suffer and love, to minister and to care, and finally to die so that he might rise again. This is the way that the church, including our church, was established. And it's through that church that Jesus continues to extend his ministry of love and care for all the people. To quote Kenneth Hauck once again, "The love of Christ is powerful and dynamic," he says. "It is not just a good feeling. It's the basic motivation for all Christian caring. As the message of God's love grips Christians, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit moves clay-footed Christians to use their God-given gifts for others. He makes cared-for Christians into caring Christians." I'm going to repeat that. I like that. "He makes cared-for Christians into caring Christians." Or, if I can translate that into the way 1 John puts it, we love because God first loved us. Because God is love, and because God loves us, even here, even right now, God's love is being perfected in each one of us. We are works in progress as regards love, friends, so that we might have boldness on the day of judgment, and so that we have no fear in love, because perfect love casts out all fear. Because of God's love within us, we can move beyond our hesitancy to act with caring. We can get rid of the old notions of propriety and deservedness and judgment that also have a way of tending to hold us back from what we know deep down is the right thing to do. Because of God's love within us, we can be bold enough to act, because we know that the Lord will be doing incredible things in our midst as we do. See, that's the other thing we need to remember, friends. This is the other thing we always ought to be considering as we think about this call to love, that while each one of us as Christians are called to be caregivers in this life, it is always going to be God that is going to be the cure giver. We might be caregivers, yes, but it's God who is the cure giver. That's yet another misunderstanding that holds us back, I think. The idea that if we can't fix it, and if we most certainly find ourselves in over our heads, if we try to fix it, then maybe we just shouldn't do it at all. You see, that's missing the point, isn't it? It's missing the point of what it is we are called to be doing as caring Christians. You know, speaking of springtime, you and I are kind of like gardeners, really. We're the ones who prepare the soil, if you will. We are the ones who are getting the garden spot ready for what it is that needs to grow. And we do so while always waiting for God that ultimately provides all the emotional and mental and physical and spiritual growth that has to take place in that garden plot in order for the garden to flourish. That's who we are. We're the gardeners. You and I are the ones who seek to follow in the way of our caring Savior. You and I are the ones who prepare the way. You and I, the ones who are tasked with the ultimate, the often challenging but ultimately good work of establishing the kind of relationships that build up people in need. You and I are being called right this very moment to to carry the good news of Christ's unconditional acceptance and his hope-filled gospel of forgiveness and abundant life. We are here to lend an ear. We are here to hold a hand. We are here to give words of encouragement. We are here to cry a few tears. And sometimes we are even called to reach into our pockets so that we can help in other ways. We care, you see, because we love. And we love, you see, because we have already been loved. And because of that love, you see, we can trust in the ways in which we care. Understanding that God has already gone before us. That God is already about the work of providing hope and bringing forth peace. To share love in great and overwhelming abundance. And then ever and always bringing forth the cure. And that's true whether we are talking about the struggles that you and I are going through. As that is also true about this very conflicted world that surrounds us. You know, when you think about it, maybe what you and I do ends up seeming rather small in the divine scheme of things. But I got to tell you something, what's equally true is that even the most casual of words, even in the smallest of actions, there is the potential for each one of us to be unabashedly, unashamedly Christian in what we do. And as we do that, we are unabashedly and unapologetically caring. We are given the opportunity for great empowerment to open hearts and lives to the incredible healing power of God the Father, his loving Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, friends, but for me, that is the stuff of miracles. And that kind of miracle happens every single day. So let's go forth, serving God, loving one another, and making some miracles. Knowing that we might not be the ones who make those miracles come to pass, but we certainly set them in motion. So as we go out there and set some miracles in motion this week, may we remember who is the one who makes it happen. And may our thanks be to that God. Amen and amen.
And that's the message entitled, Unabashedly Christian, Unabashedly Caring. It was recorded during our April the 28th service of worship at East Congregational Church, where we would love to have you join us in person for worship. It happens every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock at the church on 51 Mountain Road, which is just off exit 16 of I-93 in Concord, New Hampshire. We are small, but we are a mighty congregation, and I would love the chance to welcome you, and I know you'll be glad you came. For now, that's it for this episode of the Love to Tell the Story podcast. As always, I thank you for listening today, and until next time, may God bless you with a great day every day. We'll talk to you soon.